You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, it's The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasodhi. Online media in Malaysia has grown. To many, it is no longer alternative media, and to some, it is your main source of information. And with that change, of course, comes greater responsibility and opportunity, one that we should not allow to pass us by. Now, the recent amendments to the Evidence Act has raised a lot of concerns, mostly about how they impact internet users in Malaysia. Are the fears well-founded? Well, we speak to Fong Cheng Leong. He's a lawyer and advocate of internet freedom. Now, Cheng Leong, what is the Evidence Act all about? I understand it came about in 1950.
Yes, the Evidence Act has been around since 1950. It's actually to govern the use of to govern the law of evidence in Malaysia. So, for example, when we tender any evidence in court, the Act will govern it. It states like basic principles like any person alleging any fact must prove it. Or they will set up things like what exception to hearsay rules. Mm-hmm. And just, there are things that saying that they cannot be hearsay rules. And they also put things like how you're going to tender evidence in court. Okay. So this is the use of the Evidence Act in Malaysia.
1950, we're in 2012 now.
Yes.
Is that Evidence Act still relevant in terms when it comes to internet users?
It is still relevant to internet users. The basic principles are still there. If you allege something, you must prove it. Of course, the Act has been amending it. We have been amending the Act from time to time. Mm-hmm. But now with the new amendments, I don't agree with the new amendments.
Right. There have been amendments that were made in March.
Yeah.
What were some of these amendments?
Okay. Basically, this amendment introduces Section 114A, mm-hmm. Which shifts the burden of proof to internet users. So in detail, there are three relevant sections here. Subsection 1, for example, you are presumed to be the publisher if your name, photograph, pseudonym appears on any publication depicting you as the owner, host, administrator, editor, or sub-editor, then you are deemed as the publisher. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you in any manner facilitate the publication or republication of something, then you are also deemed to be the publisher. So if I put it in this context, let's say someone writes an article and puts your name on it, mm-hmm. Puts a picture on it, then you are deemed a publisher, right, unless you prove otherwise. Of course, it's a rebuttable presumption here. But then on the other hand, if you own a website or you have a blogger and you have a comment section, some users post something there, mm-hmm. Or some users put something naughty there, abusive mm-hmm. there,
right,
you are deemed a publisher.
Okay.
And that is that's a subsection 1. And for subsection 2, if a posting originates from your account with the network service provider, for example, your unified account, then you are presumed to be a publisher unless you prove otherwise. Mm-hmm. So let's say I have a party at home, I open up my Wi-Fi for all my friends to come and use it. Or let's say I didn't secure my Wi-Fi. Anyone can just park outside my house and logs in from there. And something naughty comes about from there, and if let's say investigation comes to my account, it leads to my account, then I am deemed the publisher unless I prove it.
Right. Otherwise, are you the publisher or is Unify the publisher?
You are the publisher.
I am the publisher.
If the account is unregistered under your name, Unify mm-hmm. account, registered under your name, you are deemed the publisher unless you prove otherwise. So for example, like my house, I have three people using Unify at home. My dad, my tenant, and myself. So if one of us put something naughty online, mm-hmm. then I'll be the one getting in trouble because it's registered under my name.
Right.
So next thing is the third subsection is you are presumed to have published a content if you have custody or control of any computer which the publication originates from. So if I take your BlackBerry or take your iPad, I log into your Facebook or log into Twitter, I post something there, a tweet jacks it basically, then basically I am the publisher until I prove otherwise.
Right. So, okay. So, I can set up my own Facebook group and it may not even be me.
It could be.
Yeah.
I could create a hate page and then I put a creator as myself. I'm deemed to be the creator, I'm deemed the publisher first, mm-hmm. of anything comes there.
So it sort of changes the burden of proof required in the court of law.
Mm.
And that is your main concern.
Yes. You must remember that the Act applies to both civil and criminal cases.
Mm-hmm.
So in basic evidence, law is that if you allege something, you must prove it. So current situation is that if the prosecutor or the plaintiff sue somebody, Let's say someone makes a defamatory statement online. Mm-hmm. I say you did it. Then I need to prove it. You did it. So I need to prove things like we had a relationship together, for example, or the tone of your statement here, or your something, or the way you write your things seems to correspond with what you have written in the past, or somehow we have a bad relationship in the past. Then these are the ways to prove it. Mm-hmm. But now, I can also prove that the IP address comes from your house. It relates to your computer.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you must take a few factors to put it in to make you liable for it. But now it's the other way around.
Okay.
So long I can prove that it comes from your IP address, it comes from your account, comes from your computer, you are deemed to have published it.
Okay. So these are recent amendments. What was status quo?
Status quo, the bill is not in force yet. So if you have been online, you have checked, CIJ has done a campaign against it. They have started a Facebook group, they have started a petition. The petition, I think they are trying to aim 3,000 people. They are trying to aim 5,000 people to sign it.
Mm-hmm.
So far, we have 3,000. And I think on Monday, they are organizing some sort of a meeting with Datuk Sri Nazri to hand him the petition. So, if you have seen the newspaper, I think if The Star, The Sun, Al Jazeera, Jakarta Global, Malaysia Kini, Malaysia Selangor Times, they've all covered this law, saying that how does it affect all internet users.
Okay, so the amendments have come into effect?
Not yet.
All right.
We're still trying to get it withdrawn.
Okay.
Yeah. We're still trying to get it withdrawn. Tough, but we'll try whatever
sure.
we can.
Does it only affect content made on the internet?
So far, it seems to be... it applies to online, and even in the bill itself, the purpose is to facilitate the identification of people, anonymous users online.
Okay.
Right.
Why has it been discussed alongside the issue of internet privacy and internet users usage?
Nowadays, from my understanding of the procedure done by the authorities, let's say that someone makes a police report against me for something seditious. One of the first things that the investigators will do is to seize my phone with internet access, or sometimes they ask for access to my internet account, my email, my Facebook, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
They will ask for access to it. So, once you are deemed to be the publisher, that means you are deemed to be the person doing it. If you're the person doing it, then of course there's more justification for investigator to seize all those things, all your devices. But for me, the right to privacy, when the investigation like that, the authorities must respect our right to privacy first, because computers, phone, they all contain our personal details, pictures, our credit card numbers, mm-hmm. financial information, so on and so forth.
Right.
If you have seen Teo Beng Hock's RCI report, the Royal Commission report, the panel actually said that allegedly how Teo Beng Hock died was because his privacy was infringed. If you have read the report says that when Teo Beng Hock was arrested as No, sorry, not arrested, was taken in as a witness. He was forced to divulge the password and access to his personal email.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently that caused him a lot of anxiety.
Right.
And apparently that caused him to commit suicide,
mm-hmm.
because of all the stress, and because that he has divulged all his access to his email address.
Sure.
And that's why he committed suicide. Right. That was the reason given in the RCI report.
So they have access to just not what they're looking for,
yep.
but to a lot of other things.
To other things.
Yep. Coming up, we'll find out whether, how much do you understand of the Evidence Act? And if you have a question for Ching Leong, do text 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio.
You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It's The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasodhi with me, Fung Ching Leong. He's a lawyer and we're discussing internet freedom, in particular the Evidence Act and the amendments which, you know, there's a bill which was put forward in March and the CIJ together with Cheng Long are trying to speak to the law minister and see if some of these Section 114A can be re-looked at. Now, Cheng Long, do you think there have been, you know, misunderstandings about the amendments? Do we all understand it well enough?
Well, I think I understand it well enough. I think
you're a lawyer. I'm not.
Yeah, I only see what I see is the misunderstanding by the lawmakers, unfortunately. They underestimated the repercussion of this law. This basically it affects the entire community. Mm-hmm. So far, the reasons given for not withdrawing the bill is that what the minister, Dato Sri Nasri, has said, let me just read what he has said. I quote him, "Without the Act, we will be at mercy of the unscrupulous people, and we won't be able to charge anyone. We don't intend to withdraw the Act." So here, he says that we need to charge somebody. Mm-hmm. So if I can't find the person who said that, because it's actually quite tough, there's no doubt very tough to find someone on, to trace someone online. Some of the times, when you do some tracing, you end up in the cybercafe. Or sometimes the guy uses proxy, then you can't find it because it's located somewhere else, you know, outside Malaysia. Mm-hmm. So here, let's say we can't find the person who made the comment, we'll charge the person who made the platform for it.
Okay.
So here, I think, let's say, the problem here, let me put it in this scenario. The content was published 2 years ago at 3 p.m. Malaysian time. And you can't remember what happened at 2 years ago, 3 p.m. and who were you with at that time?
I can't remember what happened yesterday.
Yeah. even if you, let's say you do, your witness won't remember it. Your another example is your witness refuses to testify on your behalf.
Yep.
You could be friends 2 years ago, you're not friends anymore. Mm-hmm. And alternatively, you were alone at that time. So if you were alone at that time, you basically is a bare denial. A denial, I made it. It wasn't me. So how are you going to prove it? I say, I was alone. How am I going to prove it?
Yep.
And let's say you have, that's a witness. Witness, radio say, yeah, I was with you at the time. Then suddenly, let's say this is a civil case. The plaintiff say, you witness, if you testify, I will sue you as well. And the witness say, I'm just there to say that he didn't do it. Why you want to sue me? And with this type of threat, you know, compromise, you, somehow your witness is compromised and he doesn't want to appear on your behalf. Then you're screwed.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And is there a age restriction when it comes to this whole act? I mean, because we have so many younger people who are on the internet today. Mm. So is there an age restriction?
No age restriction. Anyone can be, anyone is affected by this law.
So a 15-year-old can be taken to task.
From your 12-year-old to your 70-year-old.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of children are on Facebook.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
apparently, but there is actually an age limit for Facebook. You must be a certain age.
It's 14, before. I think, I'm not mistaken. Yeah. But still, 14 is very young.
Yes.
How will the new amendments directly affect internet freedom?
Okay. Let me put it this way. Okay. The law, the new amendment, affects two groups of people: internet users and website owners. Let's discuss website owners.
Okay.
Dr. Sri Nasri said we need to charge somebody. So, if I'm the website owner, I wouldn't want to get in trouble. I wouldn't want to create a platform for people to express themselves, mm-hmm. and then I get into trouble. So, you see, nowadays communities are built through online platforms. I have a group of friends, well, very good friends, who I met through when I was still blogging. If you look at Lawyer Buruk, the community was brought up through the website. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew about it because of the website and our word of mouth, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere. We built communities through online platforms nowadays.
Okay.
So with such law, putting the burden on entrepreneurs or people who want to create such platform, I would think twice before I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we all now talking about MNC lah, want to be, you know, ICT, this and that.
Globalized.
Yeah, and then there was a rule saying that a couple of years ago, I think Sohan brought it up, is that they require all the eateries to have Wi-Fi connected. So the law affects them. if I'm going to be liable for what my user, my patrons who comes to my restaurant to use it, I may as well close it. I don't want it. But mm-hmm. then again, if you close it, then I will be in contravention of the rules saying exactly. that I must have Wi-Fi in my eateries.
That's right.
And of course, the other way around to do it, if you want to try overcome it, is that every time I want to log on internet, give me an IC, and then I will lock it down before you can use the internet.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is a real hassle.
Real hassle. And okay, of course, for and then the law affects the how it affects the internet users. You basically, it put fear in them, not only because fear of being arrested, but fear of being impersonated. I think Mariana Mahathir has wrote something on her blog, and even wrote it on even published on the Star, saying that someone actually wrote an article, something not I don't think it was a very nice article, and they attributed the article to her. She was put as the writer of that article,
mm-hmm.
even though the way it was sound, the way it was written, it wasn't her. So then again, she said, with the new amendments, I am deemed to be the publisher of this article.
Mm-hmm. But don't you think this will assist with cyber crimes?
How the law, current law is actually quite adequate enough. I think it's a technology that we actually knew, which we need to trace people. Again, this law is to trace people. For me, technology is the way to trace people. And the crux of investigating cybercrime is trying to trace the right person. So, but then criminals nowadays, they especially the sophisticated one, they have all sort of ways to mask themselves online. You know, they use proxies, they go to internet cafes, or they park outside your house, see your Wi-Fi is on, I just go to your Wi-Fi and do whatever, all the naughty things online. Even if it's not secure. Even sometimes it could be breakable as well.
Mm-hmm.
I could easily impersonate anybody. I could just use your email and put it as your email address. I could do it easily as well. So, but then I think nowadays there's a new technology now. Actually, implementing the IPv6. If you know how internet works, if you want to go online, you need to have IP address. So now we are using IPv6. IPv4, which has a limited range. So the internet, some of the internet service providers overseas is implementing IPv6.
Mm-hmm.
So IPv6 gives a lot more numbers for computers or devices to log on online. So with IPv6, each device would have its own IP address. So in the past, it's basically, let's say 10 computers from BFM, 10 computers going online, but only one IP address.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't know who in BFM actually posted something.
Okay.
So, but with IPv6, it's actually all, you can actually trace which part of the computer, that came from. So these are the one of the few technologies that people use to trace people online.
Mm-hmm.
So that day, I met this chap from, can't remember one of the televisions. Because they had a problem of people broadcasting their content online, live. So when there was a cricket match or something going online, and they couldn't, and they're trying to stop these people from publishing it to broadcasting it live from online, taking content from their own device. So what they do is they put IP fingerprinting. It's basically when they show the on TV, there's a word number there. That number identifies the account which they came from.
Right.
So these are the way, and once they knew what is the number, they can terminate that broadcast, and so that it won't go live anymore.
Okay.
So these are the one of the methods used to trace people online.
Okay, but trying to come up with technology to counter these sort of activities is a tiring one.
Yes.
It's constantly changing. If there's a country that has their act pretty much together when it comes to, evidence, which country would that be?
Oh, I look at UK as usual. We look at UK. Now they are coming up with a new law to even protect website owners from being liable from things people say online. So in our current position is that, let's say someone posts something on your website, even in Malaysia, all you need to do is you file an application in court and ask the website owner to divulge the information. You don't need to pay damages, you don't need to pay anything. All you need to do is just give me the IP address and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now, that is the current position now. So now is now making you as a publisher, then there's a possibility that you need to pay damages as well in court.
So you feel that there doesn't need to be amendments to the Evidence Act?
No, definitely no need.
Just go with technology and that should serve its purpose?
That is correct.
Okay. Do the people have the right to demand that the bill be explained to them in layman terms, like you just did?
Unfortunately, the current position is that nowadays there are not a lot of public consultation on new laws. In the past, there are. I know there are certain laws in Malaysia. They actually gone through public consultation, which is very good. Which I think it should have been done in the first place for this evidence amendment.
But I'm sure our MPs would have been consulted. But how IT savvy are they?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. That is correct. Especially when it comes to this evidence amendment and talks about the internet, then we need someone who is technologically savvy sitting in the parliament to explain to all the MPs, look at this, why this will affect this and that. But when I understand when this law was passed, by Dewan Rakyat, it was quite late at night and everybody was tired.
Right, and what more? Very technical thing at that hour.
That is correct.
So you're going to be seeing the Law Minister on Monday. What are you going to be presenting to him?
We will be presenting CIJ's petition. If you have not signed the petition, please do. CIJ's petition, if you do a Google search, just type for section 114, capital A, petition. You'll see a link there. You click on it and sign it. It's basically to tell the law, tell the government to please reconsider reconsider withdrawing or repealing the amendments to the Evidence Act. Of course, they are trying to hit 5,000 signatures. So far, they have only 3,000.
We've only got the weekend.
Yeah, only got the weekend. So I hope that we will have 2,000 over the weekend, and at least we show that Law Minister, please look at this. The internet users are very unhappy over it. Can you please give us reconsider it?
Right. Let's hope that sort of helped everyone understand what the amendments were all about. I certainly understand it much better now. Thank you very much for joining us,
and
good luck for Monday.
Right.
Fung Cheng Leong, a lawyer on internet freedom, especially talking about the evidence, the amendments to the Evidence Act on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.